This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Dan Kadar, joined as always by Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich. On today's show, well, we're going to see what we get into. We're going to talk a little bit about just what the heck is going on with the Cleveland Browns. We're now 5-5 on the season, after getting absolutely destroyed on Sunday, 45-7, in a game that was arguably the worst of Baker Mayfield's career, game that was arguably the worst of Kevin Stefanski's young coaching career, and a game the Browns needed to win. So we'll talk about where the Browns are at right now, and we'll look ahead to Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions. The Browns are finally back at home for that one, so we'll get into it. But before that, we do need to mention that our podcast is brought to you by USA Today Sports Plus. It's a new thing that the USA Today brand, which is our parent company, launched. It's a different way to kind of cover sports. So check it out, USA Today Sports Plus. It's available on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. So check it out. Let us know what you think. All right, Nate, the Browns 5-5. I can't imagine this is where they wanted to be after 10 games of the season. They're far behind now in the playoff chase. There are seven teams in the AFC with five wins. The Browns have lost 4 of 6, which is pretty damning. Where do the Browns go from here? I mean, are we seeing what team they are? An inconsistent average team, or is there a shred of hope somewhere to be found?
I think both, right? I mean, I really think that they are inconsistent Jekyll and Hyde team, as Joel Bitonio said after the game. But I think there is still a shred of hope because of how bunched up the AFC is, specifically the AFC North now. If they take care of business against the Lions, which isn't a given the way they played this past Sunday, actually the way both teams, Detroit and Cleveland, played this past Sunday, then they would have those back-to-back huge games against the Baltimore Ravens. We always knew they would be huge, and they certainly are now. But that's the shot to save their season. And, you know, obviously, if they don't take care of business against the Lions, I'm ready to stick a fork in them. But at 5-5 with 7 games left, there's still a chance. It's not a really great chance because they backed themselves into a corner with very little wiggle room here. But there is still a chance. So, yeah, shred of hope exists. Not looking good, and they're going to have to really bounce back and get back to that team that we saw in Cincinnati. Look like a completely different squad out there at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
I know that, I think it was Bitonio said it's going to be hard to make the playoffs at 9-8, but at 5-5 and looking at the rest of the schedule, it's very difficult. Do you think at this point that 9-8 is going to be a best case scenario, or not best case scenario, but like most logical optimistic expectation for this team right now? Because I kind of think that's the case, Nate, just based on how bad the defense can play at times, how banged up Baker Mayfield is, and how that is clearly affecting him and all that kind of stuff. Is 9-8 where you think this team is at right now? Do you think they can get to 10? And is 9-8 good enough for the playoffs?
No, I mean, Bitonio, to be fair, said it's not going to be good enough. And I agree, it's not going to be good enough. You know, that would be them going 4-3 in the final seven games. And that's what they've done so far, right? I mean, they've been 500. They've been average. So, if you project it out, they're either going to win three or four of the final seven games, and that's not going to be good enough. So they need to be better. And specifically in the division, they've got four in the division left. You know, the two with Baltimore I mentioned, which we know are huge. And then, you know, one at Pittsburgh and the finale at home against Cincinnati. So they really need to win those. And I don't know if they can. It's a stretch to think that they can beat Baltimore twice. You know, the Baltimore pass defense is vulnerable, but the Browns passing attack has been non-existent. So it's really hard to believe that they're going to get this done. I mean, I think shred of hope phrase is the right word. A shred is not much. You know, it's not a block of cheese. It's, you know, a shred of shredded cheese.
Yes.
And that's how I look at it. It's really a stretch to think that they're going to go back to the playoffs at this point. You know, and it's a shame because they really had that opportunity to seize the momentum with what they did in Cincinnati, coming off the crazy week with Odell forcing his way out of Cleveland. They rallied from it. Baker looked great. He looks great often, pretty much always against the Bengals. And the defense came to life with the three takeaways, the five sacks. Joe Burrow in that hot passing attack with Ja'Marr Chase was grounded to a large degree, and then just came out and got completely lit up by Mac Jones. It was just such a letdown. They laid an egg, complete dud, and you know, it's unfortunate because they have the talent. We know they do. And now they're in this mode, and Anthony Walker Jr. said it yesterday that they have to have the mindset that they're in the playoffs now, and it's do or die kind of the rest of the way. And you know, of course, you know, you can't expect them to sweep Baltimore and win in Green Bay on Christmas. You know, to me, there's no way they win out seven games. And to me, there's a very, very remote chance that they make the playoffs again, but the possibility does exist. They need to get hot, and I think win minimum of five of the last seven and win the division games. That's probably the path now. The division, probably the most realistic path now.
And that very much is alive, you know, just based on the fact that the Browns are getting a little bit lucky in terms of what else has been happening in the AFC and specifically the North. I mean, the Bengals were on bye, but every other team has lost this past week in the division. The Bengals are actually on a two-game losing streak. Well, the Steelers didn't lose. They tied. So that's no team won is the more appropriate way to put it. But there is possibility there with the division, and I think you're right that is the clearest path for them. But that means they have to start playing more consistently and consistently good. And I got to tell you, Nate, Myles Garrett's comments after the game about not making adjustments, that to me was a little concerning, because it means the players are kind of seeing what a lot of the observers are seeing, you know, and it makes me wonder where the coaches are, or the players are, how they view this coaching staff now, particularly a superstar like Myles Garrett. It just kind of felt like the Browns of old, quite frankly, where you start seeing these little cracks of dissension and stuff like that. So what do you think happens with this defense? Is it concerning for you at all that Myles Garrett basically called out his coach after the game? Do you think we're going to see a different Browns defense at all? Because, man, it has been crazy watching this defense be good and bad and good and bad and good and bad all year. What what does this team do now with the defense and their star player calling out the coach?
Well, first of all, I think Miles' assessment is honest and accurate, but I don't think it was the wisest thing for him to say publicly, because this is a time where they really need to have each other's backs as coaches and players and unify, because if they splinter, they have no chance. That shred just vanished if they splinter. So we'll see how it comes together after this, or if it falls apart. It certainly was not cohesive in New England. But to me, Joe Woods seems to be stuck kind of in the middle of being aggressive and being passive. And I think he just needs to pick aggressiveness and trust his guys. You know, we talk about the defensive upgrades that were made. We talk about the talent they have. And I know there's been some injuries, and I know there were a lot of injuries in training camp, and the main contributors on defense, not just the starters, but the starters plus a handful of guys, main contributors, rarely practiced together throughout all of training camp because of a bunch of injuries. And, you know, that's a factor when you're trying to bring it all together and get the team to gel. But I think this up and down roller coaster that we see from the defense, and it goes back from the beginning of the season, I think it has a lot to do with, depending on matchups, Joe Woods sometimes has them playing, you know, different styles. And I think the players just want to be aggressive. I think that they saw in Cincinnati what they can do when the game plan is centered around aggressive, you know, attack style defense, you know, blitzing your nickelback and Troy Hill, blitzing your safeties at times, playing press man coverage instead of off. Like, I think the players want to be an aggressive defense because they think that that's where they're at their best. And I think Joe Woods has been caught in between being aggressive like they were in Cincinnati at times and then being too conservative at other times. And it's just kind of spiraled to the point where they get completely routed in New England and frustration boils over. And I think Miles, you know, kind of let the heat of the moment get the best of him when he said what he said, and not only said what he said, but doubled down. My friend Dan Lobby asked a follow-up, which was a very good follow-up, like, hey, you're saying you guys didn't make adjustments on the sideline. Was there a reason for that? What do you mean? And Miles doubled down. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski said on Monday that he talked to Miles about it. And I think that's Stefanski didn't elaborate. He said he was going to keep the conversation private. But I think that's noteworthy because Stefanski knows what we all know and what I just said to Dan, and that's that they've got to stick together to have any prayer to go on a run and get hot here. And it certainly looks like a prayer that you know, needs to be answered in the form of a miracle. So we'll see if they can do it, but they've got to stick together. I think Miles was right in what he said, but wrong that he said it publicly. You know, I guess if the ends could justify the means, if Joe Woods just says, all right, you know what, guys, you're right. I'm listening to my defensive leader. We are going to go all out from here on out and just let the chips fall where they may. And maybe they get hotter as a result of that. And in the end, Joe Woods and Miles Garrett can say it all worked out. But right now it's hard to see that.
It is, and I just don't like seeing these little cracks form, because we've just seen in the past on the bad Browns teams where this is kind of how it starts, and maybe this will be different because Kevin Stefanski is so, you know, smart and even keeled that it, that these little cracks will be patched up and they won't explode open. But, you know, I think you said this game is kind of the teetering point or tipping point, whichever, of the season. And that's true. And to kind of contextualize a little bit where the Browns are at with their defense in terms of blitzing, Pro Football Reference, which is maybe my favorite site on the internet, it's just pure stats, no bias. They don't make up their own advanced stats kind of stuff. It's just pure stats, Pro Football Reference. If you don't use it, you're missing out. But the Browns are third from the last in the NFL in blitz percentage at 21.3. Only the Colts and Chargers are behind them. That's not good, just based on how well we've seen them do, like you said, with Troy Hill. Grant Delpit has done well with it a few times this season. It seems like a missed opportunity. You know, there's plenty of other stats you can find that kind of point out that this defense is just not aggressive enough. Like, the Browns are last in the NFL in quarterback knockdowns. And that, if nothing else, kind of just, it's kind of a nebulous stat to a degree. But it also is a stat where, like, it's a stat that you can, knocking down a quarterback kind of, like, strikes fear in the other team, right? And to see the Browns last in that in the NFL, it probably tells you a little bit of how opposing teams view this defense as one that is, it has talent, but they're not going to kick your ass, you know? So the numbers just don't look good from an aggressiveness standpoint. And I don't know why that is. I would love to understand the thinking that goes into that, but you know, I don't know that we'll ever know that. So
yeah, real quick, Dan, it's an identity issue. It's an identity issue. Are we aggressive? Are we attacking? Are we blitzing? Are we playing press man or are we not? Are we going to do it differently week to week based on matchups? Okay, I get that. But at some point, you have to have an identity and do what you do best and do it well enough where the offense has to adjust. And it's not just you completely, you know, letting everything you do be dictated by the offense, you know. And I think that's the crux of it all. It's a trust issue. It's an identity issue. And Kevin Stefanski really, I think, needs to sit down, if he already hasn't, with Miles and the other defensive leaders and Joe Woods, and they got to hammer out exactly what they're going to look like in these final seven games and stick to it. Just stick to it. Run with it and see where it takes you, because it's back and forth in between. It just has not worked. It's just not good enough. And that knockdown stat is startling, Dan. When you think about their starting defensive ends, two former number one overall picks. If you would have told me they would have been last in the league through 10 games with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney out there as their starting DNs and quarterback knockdowns, I would have said there's no way. I would have bet a lot of money against that if you had told me that. That is mind-boggling. That's a great thing that you pointed out because it's absurd.
Yeah, it is. And also add into the fact the Browns have played 10 games and some of these other teams that are ahead of them have played 9. So it's slightly more damning in that regard. And, man, I'll tell you, if I see Greg Newsom playing zone coverage much more, my head might just pop off. Like, he looks so good in man coverage, tight press man, and he just looks not confused, but he's a rookie. He just doesn't look like he doesn't have the ability yet to play zone in the NFL. There's a lot of discipline involved with that. There's a lot of instincts involved with that. So, but yeah, you're right, Nate. I think the Browns need to find some kind of identity though and stick with it. And maybe that'll start on Sunday against the 0-8-1 Detroit Lions. Unquestionably the worst team in the NFL this season. First year head coach Dan Campbell's having a real rough go of it. If you listen to his press conferences after games, by the way, he is starting to sound like a beaten man. Nate, can the Browns get right against Detroit?
I mean, can they? Yeah. I mean, they can. Will they? Oh, well, I'm going to pick them to win, but they better get their act together and play a lot better than they did in New England. And obviously, Baker Mayfield had as bad a game as he can have as a quarterback. And now he's even more hurt than he has been. And so that's a huge concern. In addition to this defense with the lack of identity and the back and forth and Myles Garrett not calling out Joe Woods by name, but calling out Joe Woods because he's the one whose main job it is to make in-game defensive adjustments that Miles said did not happen, and the Browns never had a chance as a result of that, in Miles' words. So, yeah, Baker, let's see. Going back to week two, completely torn labrum in the left non-throwing shoulder, and then, you know, later in the season, it gets worse. Fractured humerus bone on the J.J. Watt sack against the Cardinals. His foot is bothering him. Sore all last week coming out of the Bengals game. You know, a heel issue he mentioned before. That his heel's bothering, that, you know, he has a heel bothering him. Had the left foot taped up. Also got a cut on the left knee in the Bengals game. And then the right knee ends up getting bruised. Kevin Safanti said on Monday the medical staff ruled out any ligament sprains, ligament damage, so that's good news for him. But I was there at Gillette Stadium after the game, and it was something to see Baker walk to and from the podium in the interview room. It was difficult. He was hobbling. And you add all those injuries up, and for the first time, really, after the game, he was not gung-ho, like, hey, I'm definitely expecting to play next week. It was, we'll see, take it day by day. I mean, that it was a different tone than I had ever seen from Baker Mayfield. And he admitted he is pretty beat up right now. So, you know, I kind of think that the Browns need to take a hard look at this week. And ask themselves, with 7 games left and a shred of hope alive, if they take care of business against the Lions, huge monumental games coming against the Ravens back-to-back, sandwiching a bye, would it be wise to give Baker Mayfield some time to heal these bevy of injuries? Not that he's going to come back 100%, but certainly better than he would be if he played through them and something else happens. Would it be better off going with Case Keenum against the Lions and trying to get a better version of Baker for those games that are going to make or break your season against the Ravens? I think they really need to ask that question this week. And, you know, I think starting Wednesday when they get back on the practice field, some of those answers are going to be easier to come up with because they're going to see how he's feeling and how he's moving around.
Yeah, the guy, quite frankly, is just starting to run out of body parts to be injured at this point, for being honest. So, I don't know. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think not playing Baker Mayfield would be in the best interest of the Browns, and I think that's the case again here against the worst team in the NFL. That's especially true if the Browns have Nick Chubb back, which... Nate, what's the protocol now, by the way, for that when a player's coming off a week where they missed because of COVID? Do they just have to test negative once in the span of the week? Is it the 2 times 24 hours apart thing? What is the mandate from the NFL on these players coming back from COVID?
Well, because he's vaccinated, it's that 2 negative tests separated by 24 hours and he needs to be free of symptoms, too. So Stefanski said Friday that he wasn't going to have any of those COVID guys back. So that tells me that they were either symptomatic or they had not tested negative at that point, or all of the above. So we'll see. Yesterday he said he didn't have a real update on that. But also Kareem Hunt is worth mentioning because when he got hurt with the calf injury, a while back. Stefanski said that's like in the 4 to 6 week ballpark, and he has now missed four games. I asked him about Kareem Hunt yesterday, and he said, we'll see, he's progressing. But, you know, it's one of those things where if they can get him on the field for practice, that would be a huge boost. And I just don't know, you know, it's on the front end of that timetable to return. So obviously the Browns, we're talking about identity in this podcast. We know the identity on offense. It's running, you know, powered by that offensive line that's so good, and those two guards who they gave the big contract extension to last week, Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller. It's using that, the best running back tandem in football, which they haven't had, you know, lately with Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt. It's using that to set up the play action, and we just haven't seen the full complement of players lately. But at some point, you know, you need your quarterback to be able to elevate everybody, to be able to rise above it. And this version of Baker Mayfield certainly can't do it. Now, the question is, can the best version of Baker Mayfield do it consistently? And I think we've seen stretches where he has been able to, but certainly not this season. And you got to wonder how much the injuries factor into that. It's almost an impossible question to answer. Does Kevin Stefanski trust Baker Mayfield to run the offense, to have the deep passing attack they need to have to succeed? And the answer this year is he doesn't trust him because of the way they've been playing. But is that trust issue because of the injuries? Is it to protect Baker? I think it looked like he trusted him last year in the back half when they got hot and they were throwing it around, you know, and it wasn't even just rollouts and bootlegs. There was a lot of success pocket passing, dropping back, straight drop back attack. And I thought that then he definitely trusted him. So I got to lean toward injuries right now, not trying to make an excuse because they are putting him back out there, like, well, making an excuse to some extent, but not trying to make an excuse for everything. Obviously, you can't throw the virtual pick six that you threw against the Patriots. Some of this is just bad decision making that he's got to be better with. But I do think the injuries are a big part of it too.
I do too. Real quick, and then we'll get you out of here. Do you have a score prediction for this one? And do the Browns need to have a blowout, or is a win simply enough?
I think a win is simply enough. You know, this is a Lions team that, like you said, they come in 0-8. They play the Steelers very tough, and they end up tying. And if it weren't for some missed kicks, they would have won. You know, I watched that game back today. They ran very hard. They really had a successful rushing day against the Steelers. So this run defense of the Browns is going to have to, you know, really figure some things out after some soul searching and answer the bell after they completely fell flat against the Patriots. You know, I mean, the Patriots were without their top running back, and Ramondre Stevenson, rookie, came in and rushed for 100 yards, first time in his career. It was definitely an embarrassment. So we'll see if they respond. I think a win would be good enough given the circumstances. You know, style points aren't really what they need. They just need to get the job done. And so I'm going to go Browns 24, Lions 14.
That sounds about right to me, and I agree. They just need to get a win at this point and see if they can right parts of the ship in the process and get ready for the next game after that. Not to look past the 0-8-1 Lions, but they have no wins at this point for a reason, because they're not good. So if the Browns don't win this game, oh, man. Hold on to your horses or your butts or whatever else you need to hold on to, because it's gonna be pretty wild if the Browns happen to lose this game. If they do, we'll have full coverage of it, of course, over at beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. Our colleague Marla Reidner has a really strong column up right now about how the Browns have kind of lost their identity, tough, smart, accountable identity that they really preached last year especially. So check that out. It's a good read. Marla has been on fire with her column writing. But that is going to do it for now for Cover 2. I know some of you are having to listen to us on a platform other than Apple, which you normally would. We're trying to get that figured out. I don't know what's going on with it. People I work with don't know what's going on with it. and I'm waiting to hear back from Apple. So stick with us for a while on separate platforms. I'll keep you posted on Twitter about that, and we'll go from there. But for now, that's going to do it for cover two. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next time.